You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Maker's Mark. From people that know that's a bourbon, and the rest of you don't have a clue what it is. But just to get the real Maker's Mark, the actual one out of the way, it's a bourbon that is aged for around 6 to 7.5 years before it's ready to sell. And the original is bottled at 90 U.S. proof, which is 45% alcohol by volume. So that has nothing to do with anything, but there you go. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. Talk to you about another Maker's Mark. Genesis chapter 1. It's funny, I always go back to this first where it starts, because there's a lot of stuff that happened here. If you want to read, a lot happens just in the first chapter. Things get created. He speaks and things happen. Verse 20, God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures. Then you go down to verse 24. Then God said, he keeps saying stuff. And then you go down to verse 25. And God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So in a matter of no time, and people say, well, it took billions and billions of years. How long does it take you to say something? This God speaks and stuff happens. Don't get sucked into all this billions of years stuff. God does not need billions of years to do anything. He can speak and things happen. So you got him saying all this, and then jump in there in verse 36. Then God said something different. He said, he didn't speak this into existence. He said, let us make man in our image. According to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now, what is this thing? It doesn't mean that God said, well, this looks like me, because God doesn't really have a form. Jesus took on the form of a man, humbled himself, came here, did all that. But this is something different. Dogs have a form. Dogs think. Dogs can obey or disobey to a certain degree. They have a will. They have, you know, make choices, certain things, can learn certain things. But we are not animals. We act like animals sometimes, and we'll get into that in a little bit, why that's a problem. But we are different. We are supposed to be different. God made us in his image. He put stuff in us, God kind of characteristics. And he's talking here about Adam and Eve. He packed this stuff in them. And so something they had before they sinned, before the fall, is completely different than what we have. Now, you will hear Oprah and other people say, just get in touch with the God within you. I do not have a God within me unless I have God in me, because I have asked him to come live in me. You can't have God in you. Now, you say, but we're made in his image. There is stuff in us that ought to trigger us to even want God and know something is wrong. And this is why I encourage you so much to pay attention. If you are a believer and you're surrounded with non-believers, and we are, people are searching. Back to the Maker's Mark, the alcohol. I don't blame people for drinking. And if you're not a believer and you're not drinking, you got to do something, because being nice isn't going to fix it. There are too many pressures. Now, if there hadn't been any sin, let me throw this in here before I forget this. Where it all gets screwed up is God makes man in his image. It's an amazing place, amazing couple. Everything's great. They screw up, sin, and then all hell breaks loose, literally, and sin enters the picture. No sin, no death. No sin, no pain. No sin, no nothing. Sin is the problem. And people, you go to these churches now, nobody talks about sin. Nobody talks about Jesus. They talk about Jesus. No dying on the cross, no shedding his blood, no nothing out of the Bible that'll fix it. You can't take care of sin without Jesus. It's not going to happen. So when I meet people who are sucking air, dying on the vine, don't know what to do, and they go to drink, and I go, that looks like an option. Why are you settling for 45% volume? Get you some Everclear. I don't know why they call it Everclear, because you're never clear when you drink it. So the problem is when you get believers drinking too much, just to camp on this a minute, it clouds who you really are, and everybody else goes, well, there's no difference in you and me. You've got to be drinking something to solve your problems like I do. Your Jesus isn't working, is he? You don't need the big S spirit. You need the little S spirits to keep you going like I do. Well, I just need to calm myself down. Why don't you climb in a closet somewhere and calm yourself down with Jesus? But that's all they got. So you walk in, and the image, and we'll get to the verses on this, somehow when you become a Christian, the image is restored. Who you really are, who you were made to be, what was intended for Adam and Eve, and they lost in that garden when they sinned and were thrown out and separated, and God's still taking care of them, but something was lost. That something can be restored. Now, this is what is so hard and took me 20-something years, and I don't understand it completely, but I'm going to tell you something. I know that I am not who I was. I act like the old person sometimes, but I know that in Christ, I am a new person. That I am not the old person. If I choose to live like the old me, that is my choice. But I am not stuck living the old way. If I choose to trust God and obey God and follow him, he will show me how I was intended to be, how I was intended to live, how I was intended to think, what life is really all about. Now, do I get duped and deceived and going back and believing? Absolutely, like we all do. But I don't want to spend as much time there. I am made in the image of God, and this is beyond. If you go read Psalm 139, he talks there about being fearfully and wonderfully made, like his inward parts, you know, all this stuff while he's yet in the womb, all that's very intricate. That's amazing in itself. The physical body is amazing. I'm talking about something beyond that. I got something that when this old body dies, will live on. I got something in me, a God something in me that should be screaming out of this old body. The older I get, the thing I loved about my old grandfather, and I didn't know him very long. He died when I was 10 or 11, 70-something-year-old man. And this old guy was a chaplain in the Navy, soul-winning fool. And the older he got, the more his eyes shut up. He wasn't going blind. He just had so much joy. He had lines that women, you know, pay big bucks to get rid of. You know, he smiled so much. And when he looked at you, you could barely see his eyeballs. But I'm telling you, light was just beaming out of this old man. He was alive in there. You knew something was inside that old guy. I'm a little kid and I remember this. You house the God of the universe if you are a believer. It ought to do something to you and everybody around you. There should be something different. And you say, but Richard, I did this. I was this. You got to get off of that stuff. It is the past. You cannot change the past. The reason it is so important to read the book is you find out what God says about you, not what you and everybody else say about you that contradicts what he says about you. You walk around like nobody thinks anything good about you. Ask God what he thinks about you. You look in the mirror and you go, well, I don't like what I see. See what he sees. He doesn't just see what you see in the mirror. He sees him in there someplace. You say, well, my ears are too big and my nose is too little and my gut, you know, there's some stuff you can fix. Some of it you're just stuck with. You know, if your teeth are crooked, you got some money, you can fix your teeth. But if you don't have any money, you're stuck with those teeth. And some people got lots of money, and they look like, man, they've been shot up with all kinds. You can't even recognize them anymore. It's like, I knew you growing up, but man, what happens, you know? Liposucking this and, you know, whatever. But even if you get it where you feel better physically, you look in the mirror, you could still feel like crap internally. It won't fix it. Who are you? What is really the you inside of you? And does God have anything to do with that? You say, well, I'm going to put these clothes on and I'll feel better. No, you won't. I'm going to get this car around me. I'll drive down. I'll feel better. You won't. I'll get this house around me and I'll feel better. You won't. You may think you're better than the neighbors or somebody you know because you got it and they don't. It's not going to fix it. Something has to change in here. And God miraculously, when I was 20-something years old, somehow opened my little eyes and showed me that he loved me, that he was on my side, that he cared about me, that he believed in me, that he felt things for me. I never knew that. I thought he just had a big stick and was just waiting for another opportunity to knock the fire out of me. Don't get in trouble. God will get you. So that's what it says there. That's what he did to him. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And I may read some of this because I kept trying to figure out where I'm going to chop this up. It's really hard to fillet the scriptures because it's all very lean. So I'm going to read you this a minute. And I don't have time to go read Romans chapter 7, but when you see a therefore in the Bible, find out what it's there for. It's there because something was said before that. So Romans 7 leads into Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, it's only fulfilled in us who what? Do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You can't live the old life. You have to opt for a new one. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Just ask yourself what you spend your time thinking about. Is it God? Is it spiritual stuff? Or is it just about the world like everybody else? For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's what you're looking for. I want some life and I want some peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor can be. Now look at verse 8. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. It's not possible. You're never going to do what God wants you to do and please him if you're just in the flesh. If all you can say is, well, I just got me, that's it, you'll never make it. But look what he goes on to say. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed, if what? If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Now, let me tell you what that means. If the Spirit of God does not live in you, you do not belong to God. You say, well, you're being mean. No, I'm not. I'm just telling you, it's a fact. If you have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you, you belong to God. If you don't, you don't belong to God, and you're in big trouble. People say, well, you're telling us we're going to hell and all this stuff. It's where you're going. What do you want me to say? You want to be nice? I'm being nice. I'm warning you. Get him in there. If it's not working your way, give him a shot. Get him in there. I mean, it's pretty simple stuff. You can't act like Jesus. You can't act like a Christian. You've got to get the Spirit of God in you and say, look, I can't live this life. You got to live it in me and through me or it's not going to work. And then cut him loose. Let him do his thing. It's amazing how good the Holy Spirit is at living the Christian life. He's an expert. Let him do his thing. What everybody's so terrified is, well, but if I let him loose and do his thing, he's going to take something away from me. What's he going to take away from you? He's only going to take something away that's going to hurt you, and he's going to give you stuff that's going to help you. Trust him. Well, no, I'm afraid I'm going to lose this. And the thing you're holding on to is killing you. Keep reading. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and that is who's in you, by the way. If you are a Christian, the same Spirit that raised Jesus' dead body from the dead is living in you. That is power. What can stop that? It's a dead raising power that lives inside of you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You can tell who God's kids are because the Holy Spirit leads them and there's something different about their life. The thing that makes us crazy is you look at the world and go, there's no difference in Christians and non-Christians. Maybe for an hour or two on a Sunday, but that's it. Keep reading. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, is that a fact in your life? Now, I don't want to read any more verses. I'm tired of this. I want to know whether you know that. Do you know for a fact that the Spirit of God lives in you and bears witness that if you say, God, am I a Christian? Something inside of you says, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I am in there. You are one of mine. You got that? If you don't have that, you are in trouble. You are winging it. You say, well, I used to have that. They ain't no use to this. You either got him or you don't. And when you got him, it's because he's got you. And there's nobody going to pluck us out of his hand. It's a fixed thing. Now, you may muffle that and la, 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 la. I don't want to listen to what he says, but he's either there or he's not. I've had big debates with some people about this. We are all God's children. We are not all God's children. I am a child of God because I was born into that family. I was born again. I was adopted. I am there because he picked me, chose me. I'm just one of his kids now. I don't get it. I don't know why he'd pick me and accept me to come live and be in his family, but he did. Whether you make sense of it or not, it's a fact or it's not. So let him love you. Let him teach you how to be his child and let his Spirit live in and through you. Let's keep going. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Are you suffering? Some of you are really suffering. You got kid problems, you got health problems, you got all kind of stuff going on. Some of it you brought on yourself, but you know what? There's a day coming when it's not gonna be anything compared to the glory that will be revealed. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Even the planet, creation itself, is affected by the sin that happened a few thousand years ago. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. And then he goes and talks about prayer here. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. If you don't know what to pray, let the Holy Spirit pray. You know why? Because he knows what the Father's will is every time. And we know that all things work together. Great verse. You think everybody knows this. If you're okay with this, some people aren't. If you've got a pen and you got a Bible and you want to underline something, it is legal to underline stuff in your Bible. Just don't be adding words. Look at this verse. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, and who is that? He knew everybody was coming. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now here's the deal. God creates the three of them. Father, Son, Holy Spirit make man. Male and female, he makes them in his image somehow. They screw up. Something's changed. Sin creates all kind of problems. But he sees way past that, knowing that Jesus, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world, would come, live, die, be buried, raised from the dead, and that the possibility, Jesus being the first fruits, the second man, who would make it all right, if you read 1 Corinthians 15, talks about this, jumps in there and makes it all right. Now, what was intended, that maker's mark that was put on us, was supposed to be on us at the beginning, is now restored, and you can pick up where you were intended and left off and live the life you were intended. Verse 30, moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? So if all of that is true, and it is, then look at these next phrases. If God is for us, then who can be against us? Now my verse growing up was, if God is against us, then who in the world could be for us? That's how I felt. It wasn't true, but that's how I felt. God was not for me. But if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sore? Nothing. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. One more verse, and maybe we're done. 2 Corinthians 5, some of you know this by heart. Turn over there. And I recommend if you got time, go back sometime. You do have time. 2 Corinthians, read the first part of chapter 5 so you can get some context here. I'm only going to read two verses. 2 Corinthians 5:16. Now there's something said here to us about other people, and then there's something said here to us about ourselves. First thing, other people. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things, they're gone, passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All the devil's got on you are lies. Now listen close. You say, no, they're not lies, because everything he says about me, he accuses me of, which is all he can do. The verse we just read there says, it is Christ who justifies. He's not condemning you. No one can condemn a child of God but the child of God. The devil can only accuse you. It is Christ who justifies. You feel condemnation, it's you on you. He said, but the devil comes and he accuses me of stuff. Tell him he's got no legal ground. So you confess your sins, you get it all cleaned up with God. Then the devil comes, you know, talking smack again. You go, you know what, whatever, come up with some new lies. What you're saying is true in fact that it happened, but I got something that trumps that. I've been forgiven. So now what you got? Go bother somebody else. You have no legal grounds to be here. But what we do is he comes accusing us and go, oh my gosh, he's right. I'm such a loser. Loser. You know, we even have gestures to go with it. And you look in the mirror and all you see is a loser. And then we start chiming in on each other. And we go, yeah, well, John is kind of a slug. And I remember, and you know, well, okay, that may be true. Dude, you should go back to whatever because you'll never make it. And you go, I'm going to quit. Stop believing all that stuff. Made in the image of God, there is something inside of you when you become a Christian that is restored. Get on with living what he intended for you. You say, well, you're saying think positively. No, I'm not. I'm saying think powerfully. Believe what God says about you. Go read Ephesians chapter 1. You know what it says about me? I am blameless. I am holy. I am adopted. I am chosen. First few verses, Ephesians 1. See what he says about you. You'll feel better. You'll live different.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
The great thing about Maker's Mark is I think the guy that started all this liquor thing, this bourbon, she dreamed up some kind of thing where they dip the bottle or somehow get red wax. Some of you are experts on this, but don't raise your hand. If you see a Maker's Mark bottle, it is sealed, not just the top, but like the whole neck and down the side has got this red wax. You know what? I got me some red wax too. I am sealed by the blood of the Lamb. You got a past, I got one, and I've got one coming. I got more past, just give me time. If I have a future, I'll have more past, but I got an answer.
when I believe what he says about me, I am a new creation. Old things passed away. It's not the same old person. Believe that, live that. No matter where you've been, what you've done, you got a maker's mark. Live like that's true.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.